Matthew chapter 7. And as we turn to the Word of God, we are really turning to opening up a person. The Word is God. And we need to understand that when we open the Bible, we're opening up, God is revealing His heart to us. He is the Word. And so what do we say? Let's declare this together. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's ability empowering, blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation in me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. You know, there's a difference between having salvation and being saved. There's a difference between that and actually walking in the power of your salvation. Huge difference. Too many people are waiting for the power to come. They're waiting for the power. Say, one day I know I'll be powerful. One day I know. That's not faith. That's believing in something that will happen. But faith is now. Instead of believing that the power will come, believe that what the Bible says about you, that you are a new creation, and just walk in the power of who you are in Christ. That's faith. And that's what gets big, big time results. Amen? Amen. Is this God talking to you? Is this God's life being imparted to you? Praise God. So in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, it says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction, and many there are those who are entering through it. Notice the present tense there. Many who are entering through it. This is a present tense thing. Every present moment where decisions are made, you're going through one of two gates. Verse 14, it says, but the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Now, we see here there are two possible gates, and we see here that there are two possible destinations. You know, just knowing that alone should make your decision-making process a lot easier. It should bring the answers, it should define the answers before you even make the decision. Praise God. Are you with me? The question is, are you part of the many or are you part of the few? That's the question. You know, speaking of the many and the few, in the first book of Acts, Jesus is speaking to 500 men before he ascended. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then he, whew. But wait in Jerusalem, he said, for the promise of the Father, which I have told you about before. And they all went to the upper room, right? No. 7 days later, there was only 120 left. 380 kind of dissipated out of the picture. It's not the many where the power is. It's where the few are. That's where the power is. Those who have chosen the narrow gate that leads to life. And He is the Spirit of life. And the upper room exploded, and they got out and started turning the world upside down from there. That very day, 3,000 people got saved. That's a pretty good revival. Amen. So are you one of the many or one of the few? That's the question that you need to ask yourself. Anybody can be the many. Okay. Well, according to Jesus, there are many, 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 many times squared, cubed, people who never, they just go with the flow. They never go through the great questions of life. They avoid the great questions of life. They never weigh their decisions by consulting the Word of God. What does that tell you? It tells you they're not interested in the Word of God. They're not interested in truth. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. They're not interested in that. Which is fine. That's okay. They have that right to do that, to exclude God and His Word. But then don't go, turn around and blame God when everything goes wrong. People say, it's God's will for me to be sick. He's teaching me something. Give me a break. He did all that to take your sicknesses and diseases on Himself? And you say that? If it is His will, then why are you going to the doctor to undo the will of God? You see how confusing this thing? And we never really approach or really confront the great questions of life, and then so we never experience the victory in the first place. Because we never really come to the questions that He's calling us to. And if you know it, if you do run your life into a ditch, it's okay. God can fix it. There is tons of mercy with God. There's tons of love with God. If you run your life into a ditch, He'll still help you. Just call out and say, Lord, I blew it. Can you help me? What, the Spirit of God is the helper, right? So come, send your Spirit. What do I do? How do, you know, I believe You rose from the dead. I confess You with my mouth that You are Lord. Help me. And you know what? He will. There isn't anything in life that is so devised of the devil, that is so complicated, that is so... He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything about it. He's the one that can fix it. Things that are impossible with men are possible with God. He can fix it. If you get yourself into a ditch because you didn't do the Word or you didn't consult Him and you wanted your own way, you wanted to lock Him out, He'll still come and help you. We notice that too. Family members who have treated us really cold for our faith, what we believe. But when something bad happens, who's the first one they call? They'll treat you kind of cool, but they know where to come for prayer. You know what? We get right on it too. Because why? Because we love them. God doesn't hold your sin against you. You shouldn't hold their sin against them. Because that doesn't solve any problems. It doesn't join any fellowship. It doesn't bring the richness of God. All it does is divide. Amen? I should be so far down in my message from this. But I'm getting to the introduction. But how is it that people can be so numb? How is it that, let me put it this way. This is gnawing at me. As soon as we come into this world and that we are aware of the fact that we are going to be in this world and that we have a life, that we're living a life, as soon as we become aware of that, we are also confronted with the reality that one day we will leave this world and experience death, all of us. And here's the insane part of it. Even though death is certain, death will come to us all. Death is it's a guarantee in life. It is a fact of life. And yet, there are only few that will even approach to ask about it. There are only the very few who will seek that narrow gate and then go through it. Why is that? Because they don't want to ask the right questions. They want their own way. And you know what? If you want your own way and if you want to exclude God from your life, He will grant that desire for you forever if you so want it. But that's not what He wants. He wants you with Him. He said, I go prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am. Amen? That's what He desires. Let me ask a glaringly obviously question here. That if God went through all of that for us, that He is a God of love, and that he went detail by detail, line upon line, precept upon precept, and did everything that he did, and then, on top of that, sent his son into the world not to just die for you, but to go to hell and take the judgment that you deserved. Rise from the dead, victorious. Why would he do all of that and keep the question of what happens after the grave, keep you in darkness and keep you in the fear of death? Why would he do that? No, he not only told us what's beyond the grave, he demonstrated it. Amen. And you can't argue with it. There's still an empty grave over in Jerusalem that's still preaching the gospel for the last 2,000 years. It's time to get it. And if you're born again, you're going to all the dying you're ever going to do. All you do is just complete your transition when you die. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get to the Father, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that'll do it. But what we have to do is simply believe. There's A, B, C, D. Accept the word of God. Believe the word of God. Confess the word of God. And do the word of God. Say that. A, B, C, D. This is not complicated. Accept what God says about you. Believe what God says about you. Confess. You know, there is one whole denomination. All they do is confess their sins. And then every week they come back and back and back and confess their sins. How many of you grew up Catholic? My wife did too. I remember listening to Mark Lowry one time. He wrote that song, Mary, Did You Know That Your Baby Boy Would One Day Walk on Water? Remember that song? And I remember we went to see him one night with the Gaither Singers. And he said, how many Catholics are there here? And there's a whole bunch of people. They stood up. He said, next time you talk to Mary, tell her thank you. It was a great song. But you know what the last recorded thing that Mary ever said in the Bible is? How many of you know? This is the last thing she ever said was, whatever he says, do it. That's the last recorded thing in the Bible she said. Mary is to be honored. And we did a study on Mary and Joseph and several different, the Magi, things like that. And she was really incredible. So was Joseph. Joseph was too. But go with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start talking about the will of God. We've got some time here. I'm excited about this. Are you glad I'm excited about it? Yes. Don't you think I should be? There's a difference between being conditioned to this world and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're talking today about being word processors. Remember those old word processors? And here's the thing. If you deleted a word or made a mistake and you're going back and you go back and try to get it, the whole thing changes. And the old word processors, you couldn't just insert a word when you wanted to. But we've come a long way since then. But if we want to be word processors, then we need to renew our mind with the word and get our thoughts and emotions straightened out in line with the word of God. That means to yield yourself to the word, yield your will, yield your desires, yield your what you have held as truth in the past, yield that to him and let him define what truth is. We all have these traditions, religious traditions that we need to break down. There's two possible gates and there's two possible destinations. Remember, A, B, C, D. Accept, believe, confess, and do the word of God. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. This word renewal, by the way, If you look it up in Strong's, it's the word for renovation. It's cool. You know, this sanctuary, let me demonstrate this. This sanctuary here used to be all sectioned off in offices, break rooms, and so forth. Right where you guys are sitting, that was a break room right there. There was two offices over here that had doors in the hallway. There was an office right here that was a wedding planner. And there was a big office here that was a studio for advertising. They used to do photographs here for advertising. The cafe, oh, that was a mess. That was a landing dock, basically, or loading dock. It was all cement, chipped paint, everything. The children's room that was filled with these office dividers that for telemarketers, desks. And there was a break room right back where you're sitting, Kathy and Kirk. Right in that room right there was another break room that was accessed by the children's. We had to change this because it was like a zigzag thing. And for if we had all the people that are in this church, they wouldn't have been able to fit in that old room. It had to be renovated to accommodate the people. Well, there are so many Christians now who are trying to apply the word of God, but they haven't bothered renovating the old way of thinking, the old way of believing, the old standards, the old religious traditional type of thinking. You know, Jesus said something. He said, you make the word of God of no effect by your traditions. And so what happens is you got a lot of people saying, well, you know, I know you believe that, but that's not me. What? Who are you? You are a new creation. You are a spirit being. And that spirit being has been totally recreated and that into the likeness of Jesus himself. Your spirit is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. If you're born again. Is that a good demonstration? You need to get rid of some of those walls, disconnect some of those pipes, disconnect some of the sprinklers, put new tiles in, get the lighting right. We still got to do that here. Get rid of some doors that have been trafficked through. Doors that need to be closed or taken out and put a new wall there, a wall of life, a wall of peace, a stronghold of blessing. Put those in your mind. Get that mind renovated. Now you're ready for God's thoughts, for God's powerful thoughts. You know, there's no limit to God. We limit God. Don't try to jam in all of that stuff without making room. You know, Jesus, there was no room for him in this world. It's a big picture. That is a classic picture of the way people are. There's no room for him. Renew your mind. Renovate your mind. Renovate. Say that. Renovate. Say this. I'm going home. I'm going to renovate my mind. I'm going to make it ready for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to be one of the kings he's king of. I'm going to be one of the lords he's lord of. And carry that into eternity and receive my reward and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't wander around waiting for the power to come. Realize who you are and walk in the power he says you have. That's a good one. Write that down and memorize it. It's good. It's kind of hot off the wire. So what does it say here? It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal, renovation of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Contrast this to that religious mindset that says, you can't know the will of God. I've heard people say that. They talk kind of funny now. They say, you know, God is so vast and so big. He is past finding out. For eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for them. Give me a break. You know, those things are in the Word of God, but they're only partial thoughts. They are not the complete thought. Oh, you know, it's staggering of the things that we accept as face value when we quote part of the Word and not the whole Word and the whole thought that God is trying to get to us. You know, Keith Moore, he is a celebrated Bible teacher and one of the Bible teachers that Lori and I follow. He was, after he spoke one time, a woman came up for healing, and he said, "What can I pray with you about?" She said, "I have cancer." He says, "Where's the cancer?" She said, "I don't know." He says, "Well, what did the doctor say?" And she said, "I didn't go to a doctor." He says, "Well, how do you know you have cancer?" "I just know. I know I have cancer." She kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it. Do you know what she developed after a while? Cancer. She had literally no evidence that cancer was in her body, but she believed it and she said it and it came to pass. Where's the cancer? I don't know. I haven't been in there. Do you know people criticize us for speaking the Word of God and calling ourselves the healed, calling ourselves the prosperous, calling ourselves all the things that the Word of God says when we see no evidence of it, and they criticize us, and yet you have people confessing all the time, you know, "I'm broke, I'm poor, I'll never get to anywhere." They're confessing something that they have no evidence of. It's in the future, it hasn't happened yet, but it's in the negative, so they accept it. But when we declare the Word of God and what the Word of God says about us, all of a sudden we're whacked out. Like, you know, you need help. No, we have the Helper living on the inside of us, and He's told us what to do, and we will have what we say because she had what she said. Does that make sense to you? Even my lightning fast mind can figure these things out, and I'm not a genius. I never was. But you know what? I have the mind of Christ. I have His mind operating in me. I have a new mind. And it doesn't match up with this world, thank God, because this world's going to hell in a handbasket fast, and we're getting out of here. If you are a post-rapture person, you know, post-tribulation or mid-trib or pre-trib, it says, "Be it done unto you according to your faith." If you want to stick around, be my guest. I'm not. I'm getting out of here with the first load. Hallelujah. You know, all the self-help gurus that are in the world, you know, these guys that fly in with a helicopter and they're all that. And they say, they come in and they get these people all roused up. Do you know that they use the principles that are in the Bible to do all of this? And they get these people all whipped up and emotional. But because they leave out the person of God and extract the principles, they have excluded the author of those principles, and all they do is get a temporary emotional high. And after a while, that compass will just point right back north, and they got the same problems they ever had. God is an eternal God. His truth is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. Don't believe, and don't let the world condition your mind to think the way it thinks, to accept what it accepts, and to live the way it lives. You don't have to accept that. You know, the world tells you that sin is normal. That's what the world says. Well, what does the book of Romans say? Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." But yet we accept things because the world accepts them. The world says God is a mystery. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No mystery in that. God is exactly what Jesus is. The world says believe in God and you'll be okay. Well, the Bible says the devils believe also and tremble. Did that hit a nerve anywhere? It's not just believing that there is a God, it's receiving him. It's having faith in Christ. And that changes you. So don't believe that you can't know the will of God because Jesus said, or the Apostle Paul said, and God said, this is my word, that you can not only know the will of God, you can prove it in your own life. Turn with me to Joshua, and we're going to close with this. Joshua chapter 1. How many of you have ever practiced meditating on the word of God? Very few hands. Meditation is a powerful thing. And it says in Joshua chapter 1. Let me see. Did I get ahead of myself here? Yeah, I did. Okay. How many of you ever grieved a loss? Somebody who died. Somebody who left you. Grieved a loss. Well, this is where Joshua was. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, he was his servant for 40 years. They were very close. Moses fellowshiped with Joshua a lot. He was his like main man. Came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I will give you. As I said to Moses, you know, human life is short, friends. But God's word is forever. His promises are eternal. And that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words won't pass away. And what he promised to Moses, now he's telling Joshua he's going to fulfill it. And in verse 8, it says, how does this happen? How does he get through this? How does he follow after Moses? That's a pretty tough act to follow. But here's how he says to do it. This book of the law is the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Keep saying it. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, there's a bad success, there's a good success. You can have all the money in the world, but absolutely miserable on the inside. There's such a thing as good success that fulfills a lot more than money can. Because if you're loaded with money, you get pretty paranoid after a while. Who's stealing from me? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Say that. The Lord is with me wherever I go. King James says, whithersoever. I like that too. Meditating on the word of God is the beginning of becoming a word processor. Beginning of renovating and renewing your mind. It's like the law of replacement. Put the word in, the old ways go out. It's like an ice cube displacing water. It's the law of displacement. You put the word of God in, light in, darkness out. You know, we could do this. We could turn out all the lights in this room, cover them so no light in this room. But as soon as somebody even lights just a little candle, what happens to the darkness? It goes away. Jesus said, I am the light of this world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Where you go, light goes. Where you go, truth goes. Where you go, the presence of God goes. Because he is in you. You know, God is walking this way. Because I'm walking this way. When you show up, God shows up. That's why it's so important to say what God says. And when you speak, God speaks. When you speak his word. There are many definitions to the Hebrew word of meditate. Some of those are to think it over, to mull it over, to turn over in one's mind. It means to mutter or say. Remember, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth. but you shall meditate in. This is a combined thought. Meditate in, day and night. It means to mutter or speak aloud. And my personal favorite of the definition is to chew the cud of. You don't get it at first. Then something else happens. Then you get it a second time. Then you get it a third time. And all of a sudden it's, what's God saying to me here? And then it comes up again, and all of a sudden it's real. And that's when the engrafted word becomes part of your spirit, and it hooks in with you and starts to release its power. That's what meditation does. It's not a quick scan. It's not just a week at a glance or anything like that. This is meditation. This is surrendering a life to the new life. Replaces old thoughts with God's thoughts. It renovates by tearing down old strongholds and images, which are old paradigms, now released, now revealed as false, and the truth is made manifest in your life. That's freedom, folks. Praise God. Great questions of life. Don't avoid them. If you don't know, ask God. He will lead you to the truth every time. Don't be convinced that you can't know the will of God. You may not find an exact word on it, but you have a person living on the inside of you who is the will of God, and that's the Holy Spirit. Don't let the world condition you and reduce your standards to its standards. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind to think God's thoughts. And don't forget, you always have the word. You can meditate on it day and night. And if you do, your problems won't last that long. They'll be gone. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word, you've done so much for us. And we have so far to go, but we've come so far. Lord, we ask, Father, that our eyes be open to these things. We ask that your word become flesh in our life, become a reality. I pray for all of those who that we prayed for healing today, retain that in their mind and memory until they drive that thing out of their life. I pray, Father, for your power to come and help them. I pray, Father, for that process of healing to begin in them, to begin in all of this in church, those who are, many of those who are not here today because of sickness. Father, we ask, Father, that they rise up and stand up in their new creation, in faith, in your word that declares who they are, and that that truth begin to really set them free. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for living in us. In Jesus' name, amen.